Life is worth living. Life is worth living. Some of you may remember the famous television program starring Bishop Fulton Sheen, where he would give lessons on the faith, lessons of philosophy and theology, and he named this show, Life is Worth Living. Now, I admit this was a little before my time, but I saw the reruns when I was growing up, and I was struck, of course, by his very majestic air, his eloquent preaching style, often very dramatic, with great sweeps of hand gestures and the cape flowing behind him. But I wondered, when I first saw this, why such a basic name? Life is worth living. Do we really have to make such a simple affirmation to let that be sort of the frame in which we present our faith? Do we really have to say, start from the beginning, life is worth living? I believe the answer is yes. As we reflect upon the many things in our world that tend to attack our sense of meaning, that tend to lead us towards despair, that yes, it is a fundamental mission of the church to affirm with hope that it's good that we are here, that life is worth living. Now, this comes to mind, you're following the news lately. There are often many things to be sad about in the news, we know. But in particular, some high-profile celebrity suicides have been in the headlines. We have Kate Spade, we have Anthony Bourdain, things that draw the attention of popular culture and point out that very uncomfortable reality of the fact that life can sometimes lead people to despair, even to the point of that loneliness that makes us want to throw in the towel. And so I bring this up not just to give a current events homily, but because St. Paul in the second reading today also touches on something of that human experience in which life gets very difficult. Our life on earth is fatiguing, gets heavy. And St. Paul even says, we are courageous, but, he admits, we would rather leave the body and go home to the Lord. That's a stark admission on the part of St. Paul. Remember, he was shipwrecked, he was persecuted, he was imprisoned. Even St. Paul felt the weight of living a life of faith. At this point, he said, well, yeah, if it were up to me, I think I'd rather go home and be with the Lord. But he doesn't stop there. He says, therefore, we aspire to please him, to please the Lord, whether we are at home or away. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. And so, what is the fundamental difference between one like St. Paul, who approaches the struggles of life with faith, and someone who isn't able to find that hope? Part of that, we hear from St. Paul, is recognizing that our lives are not our own. Or at least our lives are not only our own, but are given to us by another, are entrusted to us as a gift. And with this comes meaning, comes purpose, comes a sense of mission, even when things get difficult. It's incredible, but it's true, that God wanted each and every one of you to be here, and still wants each of us to be here. He thought the world needed you, and still does. And this is part of welcoming that gift of life in the context of our faith. And so part of the church's mission is to give witness to this hope, to live in the world but not of the world, being able to look at those very difficult, delicate questions and struggles of life, and to propose a different way of life, to propose something that can speak to what it is that assails us as humans. And part of that is that tendency towards loneliness, towards isolation, that can sometimes lead to despair. So how does the church approach this? We can look to a certain word. For those of you who are word nerds, as I am, and like to look at etymologies, the very word parish, we're here in a parish, we're parishioners, comes from the Greek word that means sojourner, someone who is away from home. Para oikos. So each parishioner is someone who is away from home. And we understand our true home to be our rest with God, our final fulfillment in heaven. And so it's written into the very language of the church that this parish, this community, was a group of people that we recognize we're sojourners through this life. We are at home here, yes, but also not yet fully at home in this world. And so what do we do with that? Well, as people of faith, we recognize that it's natural, it's unavoidable to sometimes feel that estrangement, sometimes feel a little out of place, a little bit of discomfort. Of course, we're still sojourning through this world towards our home. Rabbi Jonathan Sacks, in talking about the way faith approaches this problem, this very human problem of loneliness, he points out that we humans, we're the only beings that have the self-consciousness. And that means that we're the only ones who recognize it and suffer it when we're really alone and lonely. But he points out that it's extraordinary that to our ancestors in the faith, God revealed that God is found in relationship, communication, and words that build community and build trust amongst us. Rabbi Sacks says, speaking and listening, we can bridge the abyss between my loneliness and yours. That is where faith begins. When we speak to God and hear Him speaking to us, and we know that we are not alone. To bridge that abyss between my loneliness and yours. A bit of a dramatic, extreme way of saying it. But for those who are suffering, that loneliness, it's very real. And when it happens among celebrities in the headlines, it draws our attention to it in a different way. But we know that it happens very much in our midst. That there are many people suffering, feeling estranged, feeling alienated. And so this is part of our call as a Christian community, to live in the midst of this world as a people who give witness to hope, who develop that capacity to be attentive to others. And if someone's struggling, to reach out, or develop that courage and humility on our part for going through a rough time, to reach out and ask for help, and to recognize that we have others that we can lean on. To bridge the abyss between our loneliness and God, that's exactly what God has done definitively in Jesus. Those last words of the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus wants to leave this stamp at the end of his ministry. Behold, I am with you always, even till the end of the age. God knows our vulnerabilities. He knows that we suffer. And so it gives us that which corresponds most to our need. His very self, His very presence. And He invites us to be a people with special insight into His presence in our midst, and to proclaim that to the world. To be witnesses of hope. To be people that proclaim that life indeed is worth living. And that provides a nice segue into what we celebrate this morning in baptism. This sign of hope in our midst. So Lawrence and Mercy, I thank you for sharing this moment of us as you bring your son Braden up to be baptized, this very visible, concrete sign of new life consecrated to the Lord, and of hope as we go together, knowing that God is with us and that we are not in this alone. So I now invite you up, and we will celebrate the sacrament of baptism.